Myanmar is just 2 weeks off hosting a landmark election. But not everyone gets to vote. There will be no polling in the border areas where the world's largest civil war is continuing and about 800,000 Rohingya Muslims have been taken off the register. Ronan Lee is currently researching the regional implications of unrest in Myanmar's Rakhine State. He is usually based in the region, but he's stopped by in the RN studio to help us figure this out. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you.
This has been pitched by the government as the first free and fair election in decades. But what is the reality?
Well, the reality, as even the United States admits, is that the election isn't quite free and fair, but the US is calling for the election to be at least inclusive. The fact is that 25% of the entire parliament's reserved for military appointees. So when the people go to the polls, those that do get to vote, they will be electing just 75% of the representatives in the parliament.
You were one of the few foreigners actually in Myanmar for the last election in 2010. Since that, Rohingya Muslim communities have been removed from electoral rolls. How did that happen?
Well, it happened because there's been an infusion of religion into Myanmar politics. Religious influence is incredibly strong now, but it's not the sort of peaceful religion you might imagine. This is an ultra-nationalist Buddhism that is anti-Muslim and anti-foreigner. The Rohingya are an ethnic group that claim a centuries-long connection with Myanmar, but that's disputed by other majority ethnicities in Myanmar, and the Rohingya are not entitled to citizenship. And even though they were entitled to vote in 2010, they're not been allowed to vote this time.
And what does it mean for the candidates who were elected by Rohingya Muslim voters last time around? I suppose for Muslim candidates in general.
Well, they simply won't be elected. One of them who's been a very active advocate on behalf of his people, the Rohingya, and was a representative of the government party in the parliament, was refused permission to stand by the Electoral Commission. So he won't be a candidate this time round. So the strongest advocate for the interests of the Rohingya in the parliament won't be there. And it's highly likely there won't be a single Muslim in Myanmar's parliament following this election. Muslims represent about 4% of the country, we think. The recent census the figures haven't been released about religion, but the expectation is that 4% might be or could be significantly higher. But none of the major parties have selected a single Muslim candidate.
Myanmar is a very different country than it was 5 years ago, which is exactly what you've been studying and turning your attention to. There is much greater access to mobile phones, for instance, and the internet, and also greater press freedom. Why has that changed, and what impact is that having in the context of this election?
Well, these are good things. Myanmar has a notionally civilian government, and it's made some effort to give people access to, economic development and to a telecommunications industry that the rest of the world takes for granted. These were things that were non-existent in Myanmar in 2010. Now, lots of people have access to the internet and to Facebook and to mobile phones, and they have a greater right to speak publicly about political issues than they've had for virtually the last 50 years. Under the military control that the country was suffering from. But this hasn't always been taken in a polite way by just about everyone. Some people have divisive interests in politics and want to use their ability to speak publicly and to send a message to people throughout the country to divide people and to stir up trouble and to create political issues. One of the people who's been most active in doing this, who many of your readers, listeners, I'm sure will know, is the activist monk Wiratu, who's an advocate of repressive policies against other religions other than Buddhism. He's involved with the 969 movement and with the Mabata, the Association for the Protection of Race and Religion, and was described by Time magazine as the Buddhist face of terror and the Buddhist bin Laden. His views are well known, and he's used the internet extensively. He has tens of thousands of followers on Facebook. He has many followers on YouTube, where he uploads his incendiary sermons. Wiratu was serving 25 years in jail for inciting religious hatred, but was released in 2012 as part of an amnesty for political prisoners. And upon release, he took up exactly where he left off and has been a very negative influence on the politics of Myanmar, but has used things such as the internet and press freedom and mobile phone technology that should be very positive things for the people of Myanmar. He's used them in a very negative way, and is actively changing the politics of Myanmar to be much more divisive.
The US and Australia both say they're watching the election closely. We're running out of time, but do you think that their response will be crucial here?
Oh, I indeed do. The US is very concerned. They've expressed concerns even this week about the involvement of religion in politics in Myanmar and the potential that that could destabilise the country and effectively the region. We've already seen what happens when you persecute people. They get on boats and try to leave. And that will continue, and that will increase if the politics of Myanmar heads down the road that it could well do.
I want to thank you for joining us, Ronan.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
And that's Ronan Lee. He's a postdoctoral candidate at Deakin University studying the regional implications of unrest in Myanmar. And he's usually based on the Thai-Myanmar border. You're listening to RN Drive. I'm Patricia Carvelis on your radio till 7:30. Tonight, our number here, 0418 226 576.